Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
The Lakers and Nuggets face off game three tonight with LeBron and company holding a comfortable 2-0 series lead. Denver had a chance to tie the series Sunday night, but Anthony Davis's dramatic three-pointer helped LA steal a win at the buzzer. Tonight would basically be an elimination game for the Nuggets, as no team in NBA history has ever come back from a 3-0 deficit to win a playoff series. So, Shannon, will the Lakers go up 3-0 tonight?
Yes, and I expect the Lakers to approach the game as if they were down 2-1. They know what the Nuggets are capable of. They are a desperate team. And the thing is, Skip, when you look at the Nuggets, the Lakers got themselves in trouble, just like the Clippers, just like Utah in the series before, is that when you turn in the third quarter, if they turn you over, now they can become ultra-aggressive. They get to the free throw line. Because if you look at what they shot, they shot 33 free throws, 13 in the fourth quarter. So now they turn you over. You don't get an opportunity to score the basketball. They stop the clock. They go to the free throw. They trot to the free throw line. And you got to be able to weather that storm. And the Lakers did a good job. Anthony Davis did a good job of bailing them out. That was the old great decoy by old LeBron James. You saw LeBron just stand there. Everybody go rush to him. Yeah.
I didn't understand.
Yeah,
decoy.
That's what I am, Skip. I'm the designated decoy. So I go out with my homeboys, and I pull out the parking lot. Police pulled me over, think I had a little bit too much. Other people go on. But that's another hero. That's what I'm saying. That decoy, you got to understand how that works, Skip. Playing it all alone.
I didn't get that.
You didn't understand that? No. That was a decoy. But anyway, I expect the Lakers, they understand we don't want to give this team life. And the one thing, because everybody's going to say, oh, they got life now, 2-1. They're right back in this thing. LeBron James, he's not going to do anything out of the ordinary. He's going to be LeBron James. And whatever the game dictates he needs to do, that's what he's going to do. We saw the first half. He saw second game. AD did not have it going. LeBron takes the game over in the first half. They jump out to the lead. The second half, AD takes it over. LeBron had 20 in the first half. AD has 22 in the second half. And that's what the luxury of having a great 1-2 punch. Because if one doesn't have it going, the other can bring it home. That's something the Clippers really never got, Skip. Either Kawhi had to... Kawhi really never could have an off game because Paul George never really could bring him through. Well, Paul George, if Kawhi is off, you can see what happened. It seemed like the Clippers, like, what is the basketball? What are we doing out here? They couldn't figure it out. They're getting timely shots. Danny Green's starting to chip in, giving them 11, 12 here and there. KCP chipping in here and there, getting great production off Dwight. Dwight needs to settle down because he got himself in foul. A lot of that, him trotting a yoke to the foul line. Skip, I love Yoke. I think he's the best big. I'm listing him as a five. I would take him over all other fives, including Joel Embiid, because I can count on him playing, and he's a better passer. He can score just as proficient. Obviously, he's not the defender as Joel Embiid, but I would take him. But he's no match for AD. And I expect AD to have another monster game, and I expect the Lakers to go up 3-0. Can I get some dew on it?
So, quick question.
Yes, you can.
In cross-examination.
Yes.
You predicted before this series started Lakers in six.
Yeah.
So are you going to predict then after it goes to 3-0 that the Nuggets are going to win games 4 and 5?
No, they'll win game 4.
Is that right?
And then we'll finish up in 5.
Oh.
Yeah, my estimation might have been a little off.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you were trying to make the path harder than it really is. Well, you're trying to give some credibility to the path LeBron has to another championship.
Well, actually, Skip, you know, I didn't anticipate, you know, AD having to hit a 28-footer at the buzzer.
Neither did I. another quick note before I proceed into what I'm about to say and unleash. Do you realize that routinely the Clippers against the Nuggets were 8.5-point favorites just every night until game 7, then they were only 7-point favorites? And routinely, the Lakers are only 6 or 6.5 point favorites. So again, the odds makers are actually saying the Clippers were stronger than the Lakers.
The odds makers need to shut up. Huh. They need to shut up because they got bankrupt messing with the Nuggets just 2 weeks ago. Mm. Yeah, and everybody, all the Clippers, and the Nuggets just steady cashing people betting on the Nuggets and steady cashing chips. Mm.
So the odds makers paid more respect to the Clippers than the Lakers, duly noted.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's why I picked the Clippers to beat the Lakers.
And you and the odds maker are wrong.
So here we go again. This feels all meant to be to me. It's like the Lakers are on this meant to be roll in the wake of the late, great Kobe Bryant. Mm-hmm. It feels like they're fueled by Kobe's memory. Mm-hmm. This is their time to rise and shine and do this for Kobe. And it feels like they just keep getting every break they can get.
What break did they get now?
Well, they drew Portland in the
first. Oh, but
Portland was 35-39 in the regular season. And I'm saying this is a joke, and it was a joke. It should have been over in 4, but it was over in 5 because LeBron blew the last 7 minutes of the first game. Had it right in the palm of his hand, literally 6-point lead with 7 minutes to go. And couldn't get that home against that team, the worst defensive team in the bubble.
Uh-huh.
Really? Then the Rockets, right on schedule, after they win game one convincingly, lose game two. It's 1-1, and Daniel House bubble burst. And he's gone from the bubble. We all know why. And it wrecked the psyche of the Rockets. And they basically just rolled over and quit.
We rolled them over. Yep. That ain't roll over. We rolled them over.
So here we go again with game two. And LeBron James can't lose for winning. He even gets a break when he goes into his shell and he freezes and he hides on the last play.
Decoy.
It was called for LeBron. Mm-hmm. They called it in the huddle because you got to pay that homage to LeBron. He's LeBron James. And the only other time in his career happened to be that game in Chicago, that playoff game when, what's his name?
David Blatt.
Nearly departed David Blatt. he has the audacity to call the last play for Kyrie, which is, that makes sense to me. And LeBron said, no way, give me the damn ball.
You know what, Skip? It wasn't the fact that he said that he wanted Kyrie to take the shot. He wanted LeBron to take the ball out.
He did. Correct.
LeBron said, miss me with your foolishness.
Correct. And LeBron got mad, and I always tell you, I love LeBron when he plays mad because it's not often. And he just took the inbounds pass. I can't remember if Kyrie threw it inbounds. I doubt it. Mm-hmm. Probably came from somebody else. But he just goes right up and shoots it. It wasn't a three, but it was a long two from the corner. It's a hard shot.
Buzzer beater.
And he ripped it at the buzzer. And it saved their bacon because they were starting to get in trouble against Derrick Rose and company and Noah.
Had them all along.
Right? Okay. So here we go again. It's 2.1 seconds left. Denver almost got the rebound off a Caruso missed three, which was predictable, and they couldn't quite come up with the basketball.
Yeah.
So it's 2.1 left, Lakers inbounds. Rondo says, put me in, coach. Good, we'll let you throw it in. And they call the play, as they should have, for LeBron James. And if we could see this one more time.
Decoy.
He just stands still because
decoy.
He
Tim, that ain't the best
LeBron,
decoy.
LeBron, move.
Don't move. Don't
LeBron,
move, LeBron.
LeBron, it's your call.
Don't
it's
move,
your
LeBron.
Play.
Stand right there. Look at him.
What? So let's put this in context. LeBron James in the fourth quarter was 1-for-6. He was 0-for-3 from three, and he had created or committed 2 turnovers. So he's just saying, I want no part of this play.
That's not what he's...
Yes, he was. He just froze. Do goats hide on the last play
Skip
of
Bayless.
Games?
Skip.
It's a goat who hid.
Skip, you and I both know. This was the play design, and you draw it up like this. Skip, are you upset? Look, when I look at it, like, let's take the moth and the flame. I don't have to move the flame because the moth is attracted to it. LeBron didn't have to move. He knew 2 would come to him, and 1 would have to be guarding Anthony Davis. So what he did is that he drew 2. AD got a wide-open jumper for the bucket.
So help me out. Mason Plumlee ran straight to LeBron for what reason? LeBron is not moving, and it's only 2.1 seconds,
but see, that's
so
the,
there's not time for much to happen.
This is what I love about it. The NBA have sideline cameras, and before the play, Grant is telling Plumlee, I want you to come right here. Come right here. Go look it up. Because he's thinking that LeBron is going to do something funny. And Plumlee runs right to where Grant has instructed him to come. And guess what happened? It worked to out because Frankie V Frankie V on top of his game, called it, knew what was going
to
happen.
Did AD run to pick for LeBron?
No, he didn't have
to. No, he did not.
He didn't
Mason,
have
to. And I love Mason Plumlee. He's a sharp. He's a Duke kid.
Yeah.
High IQ basketball. Yeah. What are you doing, Mason? What's in your head? What's your thought process? He is running free across the top of the circle to the far wing. Maybe you should run with
him. We're going to put, tomorrow I'm going to have this video because I'm going to show you what Jeremy Grant instructed Mason Plumlee to do. He instructed him to come. I want you to come right here.
Why would he instruct him to do that?
Because he thought LeBron was going to do something to him.
Do what?
Get the ball and put a jumper in his eyes.
To do that, you would need somebody to come and pick for you. No. And nobody was picking for you. You were standing still.
Yeah. LeBron could body little Jeremy Grant. He ain't got enough bricks in his back pocket to tie him down when that storm come.
The classic quote came from Rajon Rondo after the game. I locked eyes with LeBron, and he did not move.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
That's what he was supposed to do.
That's called I freeze, I hide,
really?
I want no part of this
Stop
play.
It.
You know it, and I know
AD, oh, look.
And he got away
Hold on.
With it.
First of all.
And AD took him off the hook.
AD's walking back. He said that was a great decoy by LeBron James. That's what AD said.
I did not hear a word about that.
Hey, I'm gonna have my IG people send it to you. That's what he's saying.
Okay, I don't read any of my mentions. So
you need to read it.
Bring it to the show tomorrow.
Okay, I'm gonna bring it to the show tomorrow. AD's talking about, but I'm also gonna bring to the show the cut up where they're saying Jeremy Grant is instructing a Plumlee to come there.
Come there for what?
Because that's LeBron James.
Oh.
That's LeBron James.
I don't think Jeremy Grant is afraid of LeBron James. I don't.
In that moment, he was.
I don't believe
In that
is.
Moment.
He wasn't afraid of Kawhi Leonard.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
There's your first mistake. You keep trying to compare Kawhi to that guy. I told you he was the full king. Oh, Jenny, did you see that little crown he had? He took a shot. That's the new king.
Oh, yeah.
This is Kawhi town. Mm. I said, Skip, don't do that.
So let's just get rid of the Nuggets. I wish they would just call
No.
I don't have anything to do tonight except watch the Lakers.
Nope.
But still, why would I subject myself to this kind of torment? Because this will be a 20-point Laker win tonight. The Nuggets just got shot in the heart.
They got a tremendous 1-2 punch. Everybody knows what Jamal Murray is capable of doing. We saw that in the games 5, 6, and 7. Mm-hmm. We saw it early in the series against Utah. We saw a 40-point game 7. We saw that against the best defensive team in basketball with all those dogs and all those lockdown defenders.
So how are the Lakers going to win game 3?
What you mean?
You said it was easy.
Whoa. Hold on, tell me, Skip. The difference
is it?
Hold on. Clippers. Lakers. This is always, LA's always going to be a Laker town.
So what do the Lakers win by tonight? One? You're making, or maybe by half a point?
No, I'm going to give you the point. I give you the spread.
Only six.
Okay.
I don't want any part of it because the Lakers are going to win by 20. I'm going to give you the spread.
You're going to give me the
Yes, you
nothing.
Can have it. No, bet against them. You said it's going to be a close
game. Why would I bet against?
You said it was going to be a six, Lakers in six, so Nuggets got to win one of these games.
Yeah.
Right?
So hold on, Skip. I said as long as the Lakers win, it can be 4, it can be 3. I don't care. As long as we win this thing and hold up that trophy. And I told you at the beginning of the year, when they got AD, I said, I'm going to the parade. Yeah. Now, you know, every time I told you I'm going to a parade, I told you in 2016, I came on your show for the very first time. I said, Skip, I'm going to drive me a fire truck in the parade, and I invite you.
And by the way, you switched your pick at the last second while we were going off air. And I said, I'll give you a chance to amend your pick, and you did. You jumped right off the bandwagon.
Yeah.
Okay, so you probably jump off this one.
This is an all-time
cakewalk, and I'll just...
And I'll just give you... I'll
sum it up for you. It's like rock, paper, scissors. The Clippers were the rock that would have busted up your scissors.
No.
Your Lakers scissors.
No. We dynamite.
But the Nuggets were the paper that covered rock.
Skip.
That's what happened.
This is what I don't get. Okay, this is what they told us. When the hardest team in the bubble with the bubble MVP, Dame Lillard and the Portland Trailblazers, the greatest 8-seed team in NBA history.
You didn't hear that from me.
The Lakers dispatched them. Ooh, that small ball. James Harden, Russell Westbrook, raining threes, yada, yada, yada. Dispatched them. Okay, the Clippers. Ooh, the Clippers. They don't want to see the Clippers. Okay, let's just let the Clippers get past the Nuggets. Y'all up 3-1. You over there pounding your chest.
Yep.
Ooh.
I was.
I thought you the Wolf of Wall Street.
Yep.
Jordan Bell. Boom, boom, boom.
Yep.
I was like, look at old Skip over there celebrating.
Yep.
You, Clipper Darryl, Marcellus Wiley, everybody, Clipper Nation. Clip,
yep.
Clip.
Yep.
Clip, clip. Hey, well, guess what happened? Clippers,
you
flippers,
got so
slippers.
Lucky.
You're going and selling.
You got so lucky.
No, but how did we get lucky, Skip? Y'all were up 3-1.
I got Lakers by 20 today.
No, 20. No.
Book it.
No. Yep. We're winning this game. What? Watch that 1-2 punch. Mm. Watch that 1-2 punch.
Are you making a case
watch
for the
Nuggets? Watch that 1-2 punch. Yeah. No. Hold on. We got the baddest 1-2 punch.
Oh, those guys.
Yeah, but you make it seem like Jokic and Murray some chumps.
You got one punch, and that's AD.
There you go. So hold on. So LeBron James is averaging 26, 10, and 8 in the playoffs, and he getting carried by AD now.
Goats don't hide on the last
really,
one.
Skip?
Yep, really?
Really?
Yep.
I mean, you can say that with a chin.
Yeah, I said it with a straight face because you know I'm right about it.
So since when is 26, 10, and 8 chicken feed?
He rolls out of bed and has those numbers.
Well, why your guy didn't have those numbers? Why your guy? You always talk about my guy froze down the stretch. Did my guy have a better, a worse fourth quarter than your guy had the last half of game 7?
One bad fourth quarter.
Well, you can't have a bad fourth quarter if it's game 7 because you're going home. Mm.
Yeah, unfortunately,
well,
those just
home.
Don't last. Okay, well, Skip's Clippers, yes, they are done. They're out of the bubble. But, you know, his Cowboys did pull off a pretty impressive win last weekend, but it doesn't get easier for them. This Sunday, Russell Wilson and the Seahawks are getting ready to host Dak Prescott and the Cowboys in America's Game of the Week on Fox. Both teams are coming off dramatic wins, but according to Fox Bet, Seattle is a 5.5-point favorite heading into the matchup. So, Shannon, are you surprised the Cowboys are that big of an underdog?
I'm not, and probably if the fans were in the stadium, they'd probably be a full touchdown, Skip, and I think they gave them – because it's kind of hard to evaluate. This is what we normally know. You normally get 3.5 points for home field. Give or take, it all depends on the home field. Kansas City might get a little bit more. Seattle might get a little bit more. Someone else might get a little less,
yep.
Considering on the crowd. But when you look at Seattle, Skip, Seattle, Russ right now is the MVP. The guy has 9 touchdown passes with 11 incompletions. That's how good he's been playing. That's the level in which he's at. The Cowboys, for all intents and purposes, really should be 0-2. And I think the odds makers are factoring that in. And when you look at Russ and the way he's playing, and you look at Metcalf, and you look at Lockett, and you look at Moore, they can run the football with Carson. And you always got to worry about Russ. Skip, what's so frustrating about Russ is that you could do everything right. You play it by the script. They're going to come out and this. You know what they're going to come out and do. But Russ can throw the script away and go scramble and get 25 yards. And then he slides down. You're like, okay, he run. I'm going to get him. And next thing you know, he slides, and then you got to go over the top of him. Or he runs around and then do what he did, find Lockett in the back of the end zone for a touchdown.
Yep.
Or he can make pinpoint throws like he did to Moore in the corner of the end zone. Or he can go over your head to DK Metcalf. I love this. I'm surprised. You know what, Skip Bayless? I will go and give you. You know what? I'm so confident in Seattle right now, I'm going to go and give you 6 points.
6?
I'm going to give you 6 right now.
Done. I'll take it.
Yeah, I saw you jump it. One case.
Yep.
One case. And my guy,
thank you.
Russ, go outplay your guy.
Thank you. Wrong. So, I must admit, I always tell you, I guess the spreads before I reveal the spreads.
Right.
I thought this would be 4-ish somewhere in there, and it was 5.5, and it surprised me because there's no 12th man. I assume it's still going to be empty. That's
right.
The last
that's what I'm assuming also.
Okay. So the Seahawks just lost Bruce Irvin, who I thought was their most dangerous pass rusher.
Mm-hmm.
He tore his ACL. They just lost Marquise Blair, who was their number one nickel corner, who they love.
Mm-hmm.
And he tore his, I think it was his ACL. We've had a spate of these through the weekend. It was horrible. Okay, so those are 2 key defensive players down, gone. I spent last night trying to get happier about that all-time great escape, that all-time stolen victory that the Cowboys took from the Falcons on Sunday, thanks to the wildest onside kick recovery I've ever seen. And I kept saying, okay, step back from it. What happened in the second half? Really, for the whole game, what happened? Dak Prescott was extraordinary.
Yeah.
He fumbled early. Zeke fumbled early. We got that. They lost 3 fumbles in the first 8
Schultz fumbled.
Yep,
fumbled.
He did. But Dak threw it a about as well as he's ever thrown it before.
Agree with that.
With accuracy, touch, velocity. He made every throw you can think of making. Mm-hmm. All in desperation, because I always tell you, that's when he's a warrior, that's when he's at his best. Mm-hmm. So obviously, I would like to see that from the first instead of after it's almost over. Okay, so he goes 34-47 for 450 and a touchdown. Mm-hmm. Didn't throw a pick, which is, when you're winging it all over the lot last night like that, and you don't throw one interception, that's pretty good, because usually he'll throw a couple when he's desperate.
As long as you don't, Skip, as long as you don't get greedy and force anything, you should be fine. And Dak did a great job of not forcing it. Oh, y'all going to give me C.D. Lamb for 8 yards? I'll take him. Y'all going to give me Shades for six? Oh, I'll take the swing to Zeke out the backfield.
I'll throw it to him a bunch. He'll be my primary receiver.
You got 10 targets.
Yeah, 9 catches for 88
yards and a touch.
I thought Zeke, once again, for the second straight week, looked like 2016 Zeke to me.
He did.
Whew. He was running downhill. Mm-hmm. Best body lean in the league, and it's back. He looks fitter. He looks hungrier, so to speak.
Yep.
He looks like he really does want to eat. And if there's a wall there, he's going to run through it.
Yep.
Okay, so I love this combo going to Seattle, because I just watched Cam Newton throw for the third highest yardage, passing yardage he has in his whole career. Mm-hmm. 397, almost 400 yards passing.
Right.
I watched him run for another, 47 yards. Because at the goal line, they couldn't stop him until the final play.
Right.
So they came within one yard of pulling off a huge upset at Seattle.
Right.
Dallas usually plays well against Seattle. They have a good sort of chemistry with them, where they hang in with them.
Right.
I know they had a hard time in 2017, but I remind you, that playoff game is the first-round playoff game after the 2018 season. It was at Jerry World. I thought it was the best Dak played in a big game from start to finish. The numbers aren't, like, huge, but he was 22 of 33 for 226 and a touchdown, one interception. But he ran it 6 times for 29 more yards, but they were big yards.
You ought to talk about that third down run.
Thing. Yeah. 3rd and 14 from the 17 with the game hanging in the balance. Who goes QB draw? I think we might even have that.
We have it.
Look. Up. He almost scored. He almost went John Elway helicopter into the end zone.
Come on, Wag.
And he runs over and threw.
Come on, Wag. Get that man.
Seahawks. This is a big, strong man who can move. I'm not saying he's quite Cam, but he's in the ballpark. Where this year, for the first time, Mike McCarthy is telling Kellen Moore, use his legs more. He scored 3 rushing touchdowns in the second half on Sunday against Atlanta. And I'm saying, I want to see more, because he's been very, I'm knocking on wood for him.
You're going to see more.
But he's durable. Has he not been durable? Hadn't missed a start.
You're going to see more Russ. Mm. Russ is playing at all. Skip, he's playing at another level right now.
So here we go again. It's just like Matt Ryan comes to Jerry World. It's you got to win it 40-38.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they could hang 40 on Seattle's defense. I just believe that because they have that kind of firepower. CeeDee Lamb, my man, is starting to get more and more comfortable with his role, with what it feels like to be playing pro football. Mm-hmm. And when you have 3,000-yard receivers and all of a sudden,
excuse me,
the backup tight end is starting to look like a starting tight end, and Zeke's looking like 2016 Zeke, I think they can explode. And it sounds like Tyron Smith, the left tackle, the all-pro, they said it looks good for him off his neck injury, stinger or whatever he had, to come back. So they had 2 undrafted young tackles, a rookie and a first-year player, hang in there and do pretty well, especially in the second half. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
I thought Dak had pretty good time to throw.
Yep.
So even if they have one of those kids still, probably Terrence Steele would move back to right tackle, maybe they can hold up to where this offense could score, I don't know, 38, 39, 40 if need be. And I think they could do it at Seattle.
I think the thing is that the thing that the Cowboys didn't have to worry about Sunday that they had to worry about this Sunday is Seattle's ability to run the football. They average 150 plus yards a game running the football.
They do.
Atlanta didn't have no resemblance of a running game for whatever reason. Todd was running the ball fairly well, but they had such success throwing the ball, they got away from it. And I guess they got away from it. And that's Dan Quinn. That's on the offensive coordinator to make sure Gurley still get his touches. The running game is still flowing correctly. So with that being said, the zone read for Seattle, with Russ' ability, he's a magician with the football. Carson can run the football, and then they play action off of that. Skip, I think we both agree Seattle's New England's secondary is better than Dallas' secondary. And Russ carved it up. Russ carved it up.
No, I'll give you that. Especially so, one corner is.
So
and obviously Devin McCoy. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
I will give you that. Mm-hmm. And he did carve them up.
Carve them up.
And he will carve up my secondary with no problem.
Yeah.
I give you that. If they want to run the ball, let's see if they can run it. Because remember, they came to Jerry World, 2018 playoff game, the leading rushing attack in all of pro football. And my team held them to 72 yards.
Yes, and I thought in a situation like that, when you have Russ, look, I understand that you're the best running team in football, but you have Russ, and if somebody's going to gear up, they're going to put 8-9 guys in the box, throw it. And now Russ is in complete control. This is his offense. This is his team. They allow him to take ownership of this. And now we're starting. He says, I'm the best quarterback. I'm taking ownership of this. I'm going to separate myself. And thus far, it's two games. He looks like the best quarterback in football.
Mm.
And I'm anxious to see what he can do to keep this going because, Skip, the last couple of years, he's always gotten up to this great start. He had the one slip up. It was they played Lamar, and then Lamar came out here to the Rams and put a 5-touchdown performance, had a perfect QBR, a passer rating, and he didn't look back. Mm. But Russell, the Cowboys turned the ball over 3 times against Russ, and they're not kicking field goals. They're getting touchdowns.
They just won a game with they lost the turnover battle 3-0 and they won 40-39.
And gave up 39 points.
How can you do that? It's impossible.
No.
It's impossible to recover that onside. But they did it.
Yes.
So maybe something is happening in Dallas, Texas.
Think about, Skip, to put this in context, think about how many things you have to do wrong in order to lose a game in which you score 39, you're plus 3 in the turnover. How many things you got to do wrong?
You don't turn it over one time.
Not one time.
You get sacked only one time. Really? And the other team fails on two fake punts.
Two fake punts. And they go for it. And they go for it. They go for a two-point conversion.
With 5 minutes left. Yep. And blow it.
And they miss it.
Yep. Huh. Interesting. Maybe none of the above will happen Sunday. And maybe it's going to be 40-39 again, but I'll be on the edge of my seat because my team is going to score some
I ain't going to be on the edge of my seat because I'm going to be feeling real good because in Russ I trust.
Do you?
Yeah.
No mercy.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
LeBron James admitted he was, quote, pissed off about only receiving 16 votes for MVP this season. And now LeBron is still stuck with 4 career MVP awards, leaving him 1 behind Michael Jordan's total of 5. However, a recent article pointed out that while LeBron has received 24% of the first place MVP votes during his career, that number pales in comparison to Michael Jordan's share of nearly 36%. Shannon, how do you even handle this? What does it tell you?
Well, it tells me LeBron should have more than 4 MVPs. But I think the thing is now, I think the players have gotten better. They're more skilled now. And it's just not, Skip, you have to understand, prior to the 80-81 season, the player selected the MVP. So Dr. J was the first guy to win the MVP in which the media selected. Prior to that, from I think 55, 56 was the first year it was given out, the players, you voted for your peers. And that's who you got the MVP. Hence, Wilt scores 50-25 and he doesn't win. He averages 44-27 and he finishes 7th in the MVP voting. But for me, Skip, I guess the media thought that Michael Jordan deserved to be, I guess he should have won more MVPs also.
Yep.
Skip, because if you look at it, LeBron has won, he won 4 out of 5. So, you know, he won 8, 9, 9, 10, and missed 11, and he went 12, 13, 13, 14. But you figure Steph Curry wins it unanimous, so nobody got to see the first-place vote, so he garners all the first-place votes. Look, I don't want to look too much into it. I think both have had great. LeBron won 4 out of 5. Jordan won 2 out of 3 in each of the three-peats. But for the most part, Skip, it's and this is not to knock anybody, but I just believe the players are more skilled now, and the likelihood, because you look at Jordan in the 80s, Magic and Bird had the MVP on lock. I mean, you know, Dr. J won it in the 80, Moses Malone won it in the next 2 years, and then Bird three, and then three out of the next 4 years, it was Magic. So for me, Skip, I don't want to put too much into it. It just tells me, I guess, if you want to look, put it down in a nutshell, I guess the media members that were voting thought Michael Jordan deserved to be MVP, and they gave him more first-place votes than what they gave LeBron. But I believe that both players should have more MVPs than what they have. Mm. So nothing more, nothing less. But I know for certain LeBron James should have more than four MVPs. You know that. I know that. Mm.
Jordan should have had at least 10.
See, there you go. Why you got to go overboard with it? Why you can't say six? Okay, Jordan should have maybe six or seven. Why you got to go all the way to 10? You always got to be on a 10. That's the 10. You always on a 10.
I lived through that era. I covered through that era. And it was unquestionably Michael Jordan's league. It was just case closed. He was the man. He owned basketball. Magic knew it the first time he saw him. Bird knew it the first time he saw him up close and personal when he scored 63 in the game number one. They got swept, but he scored 63 in overtime. And Bird said after the game, that was God disguised as Michael Jordan. They could just see what was happening because he had the physical and the mental. They could see cold-blooded killer on the basketball court. They could see force of nature. The media could see it and feel it to the point of awe where everybody just knew he's the man. Mm-hmm. There was, obviously, as we went past Magic and Bird, then we had Charles Barkley and Patrick Ewing. We had Malone and Stockton, and I could go on, but they paled in comparison.
Right.
He marginalized some great players.
Yeah, he did. Absolutely.
They were great players. They put up incredible numbers, but they all lived in the shadow of that one guy. So the media didn't love him because he wasn't the greatest with the media. The way LeBron's just great with the media. He's much more quotable and sort of accessible. And LeBron gives you so much of who he is. And Michael didn't always do that. He did what was required of him, but that was all.
Right.
And he didn't often open up. And because of that, his mystique ran a little hotter and higher than LeBron's does because the media was in fear of him in a good way, like he was something else, like he was extraterrestrial. Mm-hmm. He wasn't quite what the rest of us were. He was something we'd never seen before. So it doesn't surprise me at all because he only really played 13 years up through the last year in Chicago. Then he took three off and came back for two ceremonial years in Washington. You can criticize them and condemn them all you want, and you're correct. He just did it because he wanted to do it. He just wanted a last hurrah just for fun, and it wasn't that pleasant to watch.
But
so
Skip,
I just take 13 versus LeBron 17 years.
But Skip, we have to admit, there was no Kevin Durant playing in the 80s and 90s. There were no Anthony Davis. The 16 guys that can do, there was no Dirk Nowitzkis. There was none of that. So you have to look at it. There was no James Harden. There was no Steph Curry revolutionizing the game. That's what LeBron James, that's the era in which he's up against. Because you have to understand, when LeBron got into the league, there was still Shaq and Kobe, even though it was for 1 year. I think it was for 1 year. And then you had the Kobe. And then you had Steve Nash. And so once he got his feet wet, he dominated.
Okay, but I got to defend those years. Magic was a unicorn. I've just never seen anything like him before. He's the second greatest player I ever saw. He was 6'9", and he could just dominate games with his will and his spirit and his talent and physicality because he was a powerful 6'9".
Skip, but I think we have to agree. The players are more skilled now. Skip, think about it. Kevin Durant is 7 foot tall.
Okay.
And he's shooting the ball like a 6'6 or 6'7 guy.
Okay, I got it.
Handle the ball like that. Look at Anthony Davis. Guys, Anthony Davis and Kevin Durant, they were fours and five. They played with their back against the basket.
The game has evolved.
Yes.
These young, tall players are being encouraged to play like guard.
Yes.
Okay, I got it.
That's what LeBron is up against. Steph Curry. I mean, Steph Curry is shooting, made more threes in a season than probably the whole NBA did when they instituted the three-point shot in 79.
Okay, but Larry Bird, your favorite player.
He was.
He was a unicorn.
Yes.
He was 6'9" tall, and he shot the ball so far back behind his head, it was unblockable.
Yes.
You want to talk about skill level? You want to talk about passing and creating and stealing and disrupting on defense and shooting the lights out?
Yes.
Taking over a team, taking over a game, leadership, winning intangibles. It's just extraordinary what he had. You can't tell me anybody's more skilled than Larry Bird was.
Skip, you're talking about 6'9". Kevin Durant is doing everything Larry Bird is doing, can put it on the floor better than Larry, and shoot just as good. So, and he's 7 foot tall. Anthony Davis is 6'10 and a half.
He is. But when you talk about killer intangibles like basketball assassins, if you put Magic and Bird in their prime in today's game, their intangibles would rise above the ones that we have today.
Well, the court is so open. Yeah, they're going to have, I mean, there's no hand checking. I mean, the hard fouling and things of that nature. Yes, I'm not saying that these guys couldn't succeed, couldn't thrive in this era. But when you talk about guys that, I mean, Kevin Durant, who's blocking that shot, Skip? Dude, 7 foot tall, shooting it out of a 9 foot apex. I mean, you talk about the jump shot that Anthony Davis shot. That's Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's taller than Anthony Davis.
Okay, but Charles Barkley continues to say on TNT, Anthony Davis wasn't born with a killer mentality.
I can't tell.
Well, he made a shot the other night, and he shot it like he meant it, and I will give you that, but there are times it comes and it goes.
So let me ask you.
What did AD tell him when Charles asked him about it after the game? Yeah, I don't always, what was this term? Like, I don't focus.
You say sometimes I overthink it.
Yeah.
I come in, you know, trying to do the right.
I overthink.
Right. But Skip, let me ask you a question.
He drifts, he comes and goes.
Skip, can I ask you a question? Can you have a killer mentality if you never killed anything? Because there's a lot of people talking about they got killer mentality and they ain't got no championships. And there's a lot of guys that didn't have killer mentality and got championships. So which would you rather have, killer mentality and no wins or wins and no killer mentality?
Well, we're talking about killer mentality. MJ, Magic, Bird. It's hard to argue with that.
LeBron got three. Steph Curry. Does Steph Curry got it? See, this notion is that, it's just how we perceive someone. Our perception of a person is our reality. Even though that might not be the truth, your perception is your truth. It might not be true in its totality, but that's your truth, and so that's what you believe. People believe that LeBron James does not have killer mentality because he's not scrawling and he's not shoving people down. You don't get to where this man got without being ruthless.
I don't know about that.
Supremely
gifted.
There are a lot of people gifted. People have this notion that you look at Magic and Magic is always smiling. You see the thing.
Okay,
hold on.
I
give you another example. Did Isaiah have killer mentality? And they hated him for it. He did exactly. I was talked to Isaiah a couple of weeks ago. He said, when I was not making the finals, Shannon, I went to every NBA finals. And the Celtics and the Lakers allowed me access to see how they did things. So I learned, I took what they were doing, how they did it, and I brought it back to the Bad Boy Pistons. And it was now I'm doing to them what they had done to the league.
Yep.
I get frowned upon. I get hated. He learned it from Magic and Bird. Skip, you know how they played. Skip, there was no love lost between those two teams. They hated each other because for the longest time, that was who's going to win the title.
Yep.
There's a reason why one got 17 and the other got 16. And the one that had 17 kept the one that got 16 from winning a lot of them because they beat them like 7 straight years in the NBA Finals, Skip. So for me, LeBron got killer mentality. AD got it. So what are they going to say we win the title this year?
Cakewalk.
Yeah, you go see.
Meant to be.
Okay. Nah,
it's a cakewalk. Well, it already is.
No, Skip.
Everybody. So look, here's the bottom line. If we could time machine Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, in their primes, whatever their best year was, age 23, 24, whatever.
Right.
And we could put them in today's game.
Right.
they would dominate today's game, just the way they dominated in the 80s.
And what about LeBron? Can you imagine? Because you got to realize he's 30 pounds heavier than Magic Johnson.
Yeah.
He's faster than Karl Malone. He got the Mel Malone, but he got a mailman's body. He got Magic Johnson's ability to see the whole court. And he can fly. Mm-hmm. Do you see him still elevating Skip? They say he's not supposed to be able to do that at 35.
I got it. Although 35 is at 43.
Well, have we ever seen another 35-year-old jump that high and be that athletic in year 17? Mm. Name the time. Mm.
All I know is if you took LeBron back into the 80s as he is, take him in his prime and took him back to 1980, start right there.
Oh, he's going to dominate.
His mental toughness would get tested. Because it was football, basketball.
But, Skip, the thing is that you have to evolve with the times, obviously. And I tell people this all the time. I'm like, there's eras to any sport, Skip. And if you played in that era, you had to adopt that mentality or you couldn't play.
Couldn't play.
It was as simple as that. You covered this game in the 70s and 80s, and you know the physicality that was involved with it. They would literally take your head off, and that was not a flag. That was not a foul. Nope. It just get up. And just like basketball, play through that. Kevin McHale snatched Kurt Rambis out the sky by his neck. Skip, Larry Bird punched Bill Laimbeer in the face.
He did.
And nobody got ejected. Nope. Nobody got ejected in either situation. You snatch somebody out the sky right now, Adam Silver give you at least 10 games.
Yeah.
You have to evolve your way of thinking given the era in which you're playing in. But ain't no question in my mind, Gold James is going to be that dude. Regardless of the era. Mm.
Well, congratulations to Go James. He just won his fourth championship.
Don't do that, Skip. Don't do that. Skip.
4-6.
Hey.
It's over.
Whoa,
you got it.
Whoa.
Yep.
He got that 10 times.
Yep.
10 times.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty.
Yeah. Pretty good. He actually won 4 out of 10. That's pretty good.
You know what? I can't.
It's not exactly 6-0 with 6 MVPs.
Outside of those Celtics team, only Kareem can say I've been to that many. Mm. Only Kareem. Mm. Only Kareem.
Yeah.
And Isaiah say when it's all said and done, he's going to be the GOAT. Mm. But he's going to pass Kareem. Isaiah's GOAT.
And Isaiah has no personal.
See, you see what you do? You do that every time. When somebody says something that's not as beneficial as you'd like it to be to Jordan, they got an axe to grind. Mm. Why that man can't have his opinion?
Isaiah's got like 8 axes.
He ain't got no axe to grind. He said, I bust your head. He said, check my record against all of them.
Mm.
Isaiah said, I put my record, check my record against them. Mm. especially that guy in Chicago. Mm. I kept him from eating a lot of nights.
Yep.
At NBA Finals, I kept him from eating a lot of times.
And he finally just dropped the hammer.
Isaiah said, we got old.
No mercy.
Sunday, we've got a huge doubleheader on Fox. First, the 49ers take on the Giants or other regional action. Then Dak and Zeke play the Cowboys against Russell Wilson and the Seahawks in America's Game of the Week. Check local listings for the games in your area or watch it on the Fox Sports app. Well, the Patriots lost a close one on Sunday night, fall to 1-1. Cam Newton's high level of play in the first two games has taken most of the league by surprise. The former MVP has scored 4 rushing touchdowns already this season, and his 397 passing yards against Seattle was the 3rd most of his career. So, Shannon, can you make a case that this Patriots team is actually better off with Cam over Tom Brady?
Well, given where they are right now, I would say yes. I don't think there's any question that Cam has through the first two games, has looked better than Tom Brady has. The Patriots fans are not going to forget about Tom Brady, Skip. The guy won 6 Super Bowls. He won 3 MVPs. Peyton Manning didn't make Denver fans forget about John Elway. He won an MVP and a Super Bowl, and he took them to another. And they didn't forget about John Elway. So Cam Newton is not going to make the Patriots fans forget about Tom Brady. But I do believe, because, Skip, maybe it's because N'Keal Harry is in his second year in this offense, knows the system, he's healthy. And maybe he gravitates a little more to Cam's style of leadership than maybe Tom's. Julian Edelman, Cam can get out of harm's way, keep plays alive. Tom normally had to stay on script. That's what he was. He was as good as we've ever seen going by the script.
Yep.
Cam can get off script. This is fact. Julian Edelman has never had a receiving day like he had Sunday with Tom Brady. And for whatever reason, Cam is getting more out of those receivers than what Tom Brady got last year. Now, I don't, Skip, there could be a lot of, maybe Julian is more healthy this year than he was last year. N'Keal Harry, he started the season, Skip, he was on IR, so maybe he's healthy. Maybe he has a better grasp of the playbook. Whatever the case may be, this is what we know. These guys are playing better this year than what they played last year for Tom Brady. There could be injury could be a factor, knowing the playbook when it comes to N'Keal Harry. Skip, Demarius Byrd making plays. I mean, you, like you said, only thing Bill Belichick did this offseason was get little Demarius Byrd from Arizona.
From Arizona.
And
he's like their fifth receiver.
And he's out there playing. He's out there making making plays for him. So Cam is played unbelievable. He shocked a lot of people with how well he's playing. And at the end of the season, if he can keep this going, he will be able to look back and say, I told you so. And a lot of people, and there's going to be a lot of owners looking at their general managers like, we could have had that guy for like $1 million or $2 million, and we stuck with this, and they're there, and we're here.
Yep.
So for me, Skip, maybe it's injury, maybe it's the knowledge of the playbook, but these guys are playing better with Cam than they played with Tom last year.
So far.
So far.
So I do not want to take an ounce away from what Cam Newton has pulled off his first two games in New England, because the pressure is extraordinary.
Yep.
And I told you, I can count on one hand the humans who could have stood up to that pressure. And you'd have to go to Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
That's what
you'd
have to do.
Yeah.
This is replacing the GOAT opening day in Foxborough against a division rival, albeit Miami. Mm-hmm. But it's still... The pressure is, it's incomprehensible. But Cam Newton, yeah, he knows pressure.
Yep.
He was competing with Tim Tebow at Florida for that job. And then he went to Blinn Junior College, and all he did was win the national championship. And he goes to Auburn, and all he did was win the national championship and the Heisman Trophy.
Yep.
And then all he did in Carolina was he won the MVP 5 years ago.
Yep.
It's just hard to win an MVP, and it's hard to get a team to the Super Bowl, and he did that.
Yep.
Didn't play great in the Super Bowl, but it was just because Denver played a lot better.
Correct.
That was it. It was Von Miller's day, not Cam Newton's day. Okay, so what he did against the Dolphins, extraordinary to me. He was really good. He didn't throw it much, but he ran it great.
Mm-hmm.
He looked healthier than he's looked in about, well, since the MVP year,
right.
to me. Mm-hmm. And then he goes to Seattle on a Sunday night, albeit in an empty, what is it? Is it still Century Link?
Yeah, Century Link.
Okay, so it's empty. No 12th man. But he puts on the show of shows on Sunday night football. That's the best I've seen him throw the football since his first year in the league.
Yeah.
Now, I'll eclipse the MVP year.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the first couple of he had three games in his first four in this league in which he threw it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And he threw for 422 at Arizona and 432 back home against Aaron Rodgers in Carolina. And then the fourth game of the year, he went to
Chicago
and it was 379. And we're all thinking, what have we wrought here? like this guy is going to throw this league for a loop. And then... That was it.
Right.
He never really got close to those kind of numbers again.
Until Sunday.
Yeah, until Sunday. And he started to run with it more because he can.
Right.
And we talked about how he, quote, unquote, died for the cause in Carolina, and I believe he did.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, you want to talk about heaping pressure on him? After two games, are you ready to say he's better than Brady was last year? Because that is a mouthful.
No. It's way too early. You still got 14 games to go.
Okay, you got 14 games. So I want to tell you how high the bar was set last year. And again, you have argued with this, but I'm gonna plant my flag on this one more time. All Tom Brady did last year with diminishing talent, really on both sides of the ball, was he helped lift that team to the two seed.
Mm-hmm.
On the final day of the year, they're playing Fitzmagic at home, and the Dolphins are starting to heat up. They're starting to be dangerous. And obviously, the coach of the Dolphins used to coach for Belichick, and they come in there ready to play and know what's going to hit them between the eyes.
Right.
So it was a battle. And Tom Brady, over about a four-minute stretch of the fourth quarter, did what he's always done. And he drove that team 60 yards in eight plays, for the touchdown that put them ahead 24-20. Mm-hmm. And he completed 4 out of 5 passes. And I'm not saying they're great passes, but I think we still have them. You can see what he did. This is Tom Brady. This is what he always does, game-winning drives. So the first one's just a little one to James White, and then the second one's to Ben Watson, just a little one, but he's moving the chains. Now, the third one's more of a rifle shot to Sanu, who failed this year to even make the squad. But that's Sanu for 22. And then here goes James White again, one of his favorite targets. And it's just a little screen, a little middle screen for a touchdown. So he did what he always does, and mm-hmm. he say, that looked pretty effortless. That's just who he is.
Right.
And as you say, on script, he stayed right on script.
Right.
He held the ball a little while on the Sanu route, mm-hmm. but he let him get behind the zone, mm-hmm. and he hit him.
Yep.
Okay. So the point is, now with 3 minutes left, they got the 2 seed. And Belichick's defense could not stop Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'm doing golf still.
Yeah.
But Ryan Fitzpatrick turned back into Fitzmagic, and he goes 75 yards in 13 plays. And he hits Gesicki mm-hmm. with a 5-yard touchdown pass to win the game, 27-24. They didn't just need a field goal. They needed this. They needed a touchdown. And they lost the 2 seed. And they lost a week off. And the team is battered, and they needed a week off because their psyche was battered. But my point is, Tom Brady did his part. He did his job, as mm-hmm. Belichick says, to get them to the 2 seed. Can Cam lift this team to the 2 seed? Because that's the bar that he set last year.
I think the thing is, what Cam does for this offense, Skip, is that he opens up the playbook more. He's more of a threat. And so now you have to count. You never had to look. Tom's going to be 7 to 8 yards behind the center. That's where you can find him. You don't need to look for him, Skip.
Yep.
You can find him there. Cam Newton, there's no telling. He might start there, but then the next thing you know, he might be 20 yards down the field. And that's something you never had to worry about with Tom. And so I think it forces you, your defense, to be very disciplined. Because you get out of a position, Cam can gash you for a 20-yard run. But he also can buy time and throw the ball over the top of your head. So early on right now, guys seem to be playing better. The question is, as you said, can they keep this up for another 14 games?
Can he avoid getting beat up?
Right.
Because it's just hard.
Yeah.
You're just taking a lot of pounding.
Yes.
And he's going to have to take some pounding because it's who he is.
And plus, Skip, he's got 28 rush attempts. He got 28 rush attempts. That's 28. That's in 2 games.
Okay.
So are you going to let your quarterback basically take 200? That's on running plays. You're going to let him take 200 shots?
Yep.
Plus what he's going to take on passing plays when he gets knocked down or gets sacked?
Yep. So I give you this. N'Keal Harry went deep in Tom's doghouse last year because he failed to hold on to a ball at Houston. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that one that resulted in another pick six?
Yep.
And once you go in a star quarterback's doghouse, mm-hmm. It's hard to get out of mm-hmm. it. And Cam has put a big arm around him.
Yes.
Because remember, N'Keal Harry, I loved him coming out of Arizona. He's 6'4", 225. Mm-hmm. And you're starting to see him flash a little bit with Cam. And Julian, just because they went bombs away the other night, he had his career day.
Right.
Okay, great.
And I think that's the thing, Skip. Everybody, you know, everybody's, leadership style doesn't work for everybody.
Nope.
And as good as leader as Tom is, maybe that style didn't work for N'Keal Harry. Maybe he's a guy, Skip, and I tell you this, that's what you got to understand.
Yep.
Some guys, you got to put your arms around, hey, son, it's going to be okay. Just keep working. You're doing good. As opposed to, come on, you got to make that play. Come on.
Yeah.
You know. You just have to underfigure the guy, what works for him, and get the best out of him. And Cam seemed to have pushed the right buttons with N'Keal Harry.
I just hope Tom can push the right button with Leonard Fournette.
Well, maybe he'll push the buttons right back.
Yeah, exactly. That's the problem.
No mercy.
Well, Carson Wentz has looked less than stellar in Philly's 0-2 start, throwing 4 interceptions, losing 1 fumble, and being sacked 8 times. When asked yesterday why his fifth-year signal caller was regressing this season, Philly coach Doug Peterson had an interesting response, calling it a, quote, good question. Wentz's contract got extended through the 2024 season last summer, but the Eagles did draft dual threat Jalen Hurts this spring, and the former Oklahoma and Alabama QB actually played a few snaps Sunday as a decoy alongside Wentz. So, Shannon, are you ready to give up on your guy? Walk it to him.
No, I'm not ready to give up, but that was a ridiculous response. and it was very telling, Skip.
Good question.
That's not normally the response that a quarterback, that a coach gives. He normally says, look, we need to play better. Mm-hmm. We need to play better offensively. We need to run better. We need to block better. We need to play better defensively. And I need to coach better. Doug Peterson. Now, the first game, you allowed Wentz to get sacked 8 times, 13 hits. This week, you get Lane Johnson back, so you did a little better. He got no sacks, but he got hit about 3 or 4 times. My question is to you, Skip, if my house were to get robbed, the likelihood of me leaving the doors unlocked is not very good. So I'm trying to figure out, Doug Peterson, why do you continuously run all this gap protection, which you release 5 guys out into the pattern, when they can't protect your quarterback? That's coaching. I'm trying to figure out why Doug Peterson's play calling, his coaching, has regressed. Because if you think he's the same guy that took that team calling the same plays, he's not. Mm. He's not. And Wentz has to understand.
What was his book called? Fearless.
Fearless.
Yep.
Well, here's the thing, Skip. There's a difference between being fearless and foolish. Mm. And I think you continuously running scat protection when your quarterback's getting pummeled is not fearless, it's foolish. It's easy for you to call those plays because you're not the one that's looking down the barrel. Mm. So he needs to self-reflect and says, okay, what can I do? What can I do to get my quarterback comfortable? Because it seems to me that he's pressing. He's like, well, we're not stopping anybody defensively. We're not putting on the boards offensively. So he's trying to make plays. Wentz knows he can't roll one way and throw back across it. There's nothing to hold a safety. If not only did the guy pick it, he got his receiver blown up, Skip. Mm. The safety's standing in the hole. Where does he think he can go in that area of the field, Skip? He think the safety's going to backpedal out the end zone up in the stands? This was a horrible situation from the beginning, from the very moment that you took a quarterback after you gave Wentz that money and you take a quarterback in the second round. That was their first mistake, and it was the beginning of, I believe, that might ultimately be the end, because it sends a horrible message to your quarterback, says that we don't believe in you. Yeah, we gave you the money, but we don't believe that you're the guy that can take us to where we want to be again.
That is correct. I have tried to tell you about Carson Wentz from the start. I have never loved his poise in the pocket, his feel for the game. I call him Carson W-I-N-C-E because I wince when I see his lowlights. I wince because he holds the ball too long. I give you some protection issues, but he doesn't handle the lack of protection very well.
No.
And his leadership intangibles are low, given the fact that he's supposed to be the face of the franchise. Uh-huh. Sal Palantonio, my friend at ESPN, has reported on ESPN, I think it was on ESPN Radio, that he watches Carson Wentz after those big turnovers go to sort of the end of the bench and just sit by himself. Doesn't seem real connected to his locker room. I know that's been an ongoing issue. Mm-hmm. It seemed like last year it got better. But even at the end of the year when he went on his run, I kept saying, okay, so he beat the Giants twice and the then Redskins once and my Cowboys 17-9. It just wasn't that impressive to me. You said he was doing so much with so little. Mm-hmm. Okay, the pressure was off and he rose and shone as best he could under those circumstances with some pretty good backup talent. I thought they had some kids who could catch it, like that Greg Ward Jr.
Right.
So I read this quote last night in a Mike Sando article in The Athletic from an anonymous coach who has studied Carson Wentz. And the coach said, Wentz tries to make too much out of plays. He is going to wait one more hitch to make the big play downfield instead of just getting the ball out of his hands. And he screws it up for everybody, says the anonymous coach. From a coaching standpoint, it is selfish. He should know better at this time in his career with that kind of coaching he's getting and the players around him. It's feel for the game. It's trying to throw a home run every time, and you can't in this league.
But here's the thing you have to understand. He could get away with that at North Dakota State.
Definitely.
He was the best player. So you can hitch, and you can go for the big play because you could overcome it.
Yep.
Because there's a reason why they won like 6 or 7 of the last 8 FCS titles.
Yep.
Because they normally have the most talent. Well, if you're not the most talented team, you can't, especially when you're struggling on both sides of the football, you can't make those mistakes.
Mm.
You can't.
Nope. So, as a Cowboy fan, my biggest fear about the Eagles is that they're going to go to Jalen Hurts, because I fear him because I love him. He is special as a competitor and a leader. And that's what I saw not only at Alabama, but I definitely saw it at Oklahoma last year. And I think that's what they saw in Jalen Hurts, and I think they were ecstatic to be able to, quote-unquote, steal him in the draft where they stole him, and they have plans for him, obviously. And to your point, it does not bode well for Carson Wentz.
No, I mean, you don't buy a new car. I got a car. Buy a new car. I'm just going to sit the new car in the drive. No. You're going to drive it. And eventually, you know, you're going to morph out of the old one into the new one. That's just the way it works.
Especially when the new one's 0-2.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. No, the old one's 0-2.
The old one. Well, that's true. Yeah, right.
The new one's about to get a test drive before long. He might be in the regular rotation.
So we went this whole topic, and you did not use your nickname.
No.
Is it now defunct?
No. Because right now he's bouncing it to him.
No more walking to him.
Well, he's walking it to the other team.
Yeah.
No mercy.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to The Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.